God ain't done with us, you know. Never think that he's finished with you. He's never finished with any of us. The whole thing is that we just need to keep cooperating with him so he can continue his work. Amen? And there's so much more for us. Sometimes we think, well, this must be, this is this, and that, and that's it. No, no, no. That's not what's happening. There's so much more for me and you. And it has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with what you've done. It's where you're going. Amen? It's where you're going. God can use anyone at any age in any condition. He can visit anyone. That's all he needs to do is show up and you're changed. You're done. But do you want him to show up? Do you really want him to show up? See, you've got to look, seek, knock, and find. You've got to go seek him. You've got to cause him to come to you. Does everybody get that? You got to cause him to come to you. I'll never forget when we were praising and worshiping. You've heard this testimony. It's happened about two or three times. And while we were praising and worshiping, all of a sudden there I am in the spirit, and I see the Lord, and he comes and hugs me. And when he showed up, and he hugged me, and he said to me, I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. See, you want to get to that place where you are getting his attention so he couldn't resist. Does everybody understand that? So he couldn't resist. You know, how many times in the world I've heard people go, man, my brother's sick, my sister's sick, this person's sick. And I know they ain't been following the Lord. I said, well, does God have their attention? He says, yes. Well, you know, God gives people attention when they're sick and in trouble. Why? Because they're not paying attention to him the rest of their life or during their lifespan. So you got to ask yourself, have you really been getting God's attention? This is what you got to ask yourself every day. Lord, am I getting your attention? If you're not getting answers, you ain't getting his attention. Amen. If you're not getting revelations or visitations, you're not getting his attention. And we need to get his attention more than ever. Amen. There's too many distractions now. All over. There's wave distractions. There's educational distractions. There are artificial intelligence distractions. There's medical distractions. There's governmental distractions. There's weather distractions. There's all kinds of distractions now. And this is where the Lord says, you must deny yourself every day. We must reach a level of death to ourself. Because that's that denial of self. He said, then you can pick up your cross. In other words, picking up your cross means fight. You know how many people don't fight? Oh, I prayed today. Oh, God, help me. Yeah, that ain't a prayer. You might as well say Hail Mary. And God don't answer those either. You know, this is not a thing of chance or what the world calls luck. In fact, that word came from Lucifer. So stop saying you're lucky. You're blessed. Amen? This is not an area of chance. This is an area of reality, of truth. This is where we're at right now. God is trying to get our attention of true reality. What's real to you? What's more real to you? The other side should be more real to you than this side. We know this side is temporary. But he's trying to bring us to cross over. And that's what the word was given for 2023. It was a year of crossover. There's going to be many people that are going to be crossing over and getting set free. The woman with the issue of blood, she crawled on her hands and knees. You know what she did? She crossed over and got healed. And many are getting baptized and filled with the Spirit and the fire of God. And there's being refreshing. You got to cross over. But how do you cross? Did that woman with the issue of blood get his attention? You bet. You bet. And when Jesus said that he'd come to feed the sheep of the Israelites, And she was a Gentile. And what did she say to the Lord? She says, well, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. He said, that's great faith. Be made whole. I mean, think about what God is, who he is. See, the whole reality is finding out who he really is in his character, in his love. It's not only what he's done. There isn't anything he can't do. Amen. Nothing is impossible what he can't do. So in this, we are in a time where he is drawing near to those who are drawing near to him. Those that are getting his attention. People are more caught up in themselves. One of the things the enemy does, he comes to steal your identity. The more you know the Lord, the more you know who you are. Again, I'm going to say that the more you know the Lord, the more you know who you are. The more you hang with him, the more he rubs off on you, and you get his identity. Amen? Now, there's something vitally important that I'm going to share today, because this is what the Spirit was releasing. He said, your identity leads to your destiny. Your identity leads to your destiny. How you identify yourself will result in a destiny you will lead and go into. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go to the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God who at various times and in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, are we in the last days? Spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, his character, and upholding all things by the word of his power. By the word of his power. Now think about this. What are his words? Are his words temporary? No. They're eternal. That means his words came from another dimensional reality. Come on, grab hold of this today. It'll change you. It'll change your life. It'll change you how you see things. His words are from a different dimensional reality. Same language, so you and I, but the words and how they're expressed, different reality. That's what he sent into this world. Again, being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So, again, in this, at various times and in various ways, attempting to get our attention and rescue us from deception and fear and false identities, he sent his words from eternal realm, from another dimension, from another reality. These are words when he spoke that are different. That's why when you go into places and you speak things of the Lord, they don't understand you. Because you're not speaking of this realm. You're not speaking of this reality. You're speaking into this realm from another reality. Amen? And by that, you are changing things. Say, I'm a changer. Glory. Hebrews 12, 25. It says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Why? Because his words are life. Life-changing. They're light. For if they did not escape who refused him, who spoke on earth, that means when he was here, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who spoke from heaven. In other words, he's releasing those words from another reality into this realm. Whose voice then shook the earth. I don't know anybody else's voice can shake a whole planet. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavenlies. In other words, the universe. Nobody's voice or words can do that, but only the one that created it. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. In other words, he's saying, don't refuse Jesus' words. They've been recorded. That's what this book is. This is a book, recorded words from another reality. From another dimension, brought into this present time in this reality. But these words in this book are eternal and forever and ever, from another dimensional reality recorded, and many others. It's not only the Bible, but many have written books that are the same way from their testimonies. Why? He said they overcame by their testimony. Their testimonies are giving glory to the one who created them. They overcome by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and they didn't love their lives to death. You go out and tell somebody in the world that, they're going to think you're nuts. You go out and tell somebody that you're a new creation in Christ, old things pass away and all things become new. They will not understand you. I go to the gym and there's a guy that I meet every once in a while. Oh, he's in there. And we say hello and whatever. We've become a little bit of friend. Not that I have friends, but anyways. And one day he said to me, how you doing? I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. He said, what? I said, man, those are words from another reality. Right? For him, it was foreign. He didn't get it. You're blessed and what? Highly favored. From where? From who? From God. Oh, you're blessed and highly favored from God. Yeah. I said, do you want to be blessed and highly favored? He said, yes. I said, well, you got to speak it. It's got to be released into this realm. So I was over there doing bench. I walked over to him. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm blessed and something. I said, you're blessed and highly favored. He said, yeah, that's it. So I told him I'm going to text it. So Shane and I have been going to the gym. We walked in there again today. He says, I'm blessed and highly favored. I said, yeah. Why? Because these are words from another reality. They don't, humans, we're no longer human, you know. We have a human body, but we're eternal. So quit using the excuse, I'm only human. You're not human anymore. Why? Because you're connected to another realm, another reality. You're supposed to be eternal, not human. Humans die. They have an end. We don't. Amen? We're not human. Oh, hallelujah. People come up to me, well, when I had longer hair, they wanted to know what tribe I was from. I said, from the tribe of Judah. What tribe is that? That's another word from another reality. Are you Italian? No, I'm Christ. My blood no longer runs from my family. My blood runs from the throne. I'm not involved in nationality. My nationality is Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Don't refuse the words. These are recordings of his words. John 10, verse 1. Let's speak it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep do what? Hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I want you to know something that you will hear at some time in your life, an audible voice of God Almighty that calls your name. It could be anywhere at any time. You never know when you least expect it. You're going to be sitting there. I'll never forget when that happened to me. I mean, it's happened more than once, but the one time I was in my living room just sitting there, and all of a sudden I heard, Guy. I'm like, whoa. I mean, there was no imagination. There was no dream. There was no nothing. It was an audible voice of God, and I knew it was my Father. See, if you're desiring to get closer, he desires to get closer to you. There are things that he will break loose and bring revelation to you. He wants you to know who you are and to hold your identity. We are Christ and his offspring. We are ambassadors and forerunners. Now, I want you to know that your identity is not your function. You have a function and identity. Your identity is in Christ. Now, your function might be teacher. Your function might be mechanic. Your function might be whatever. Toilet bowl cleaner. Whatever. It doesn't matter what your function is. But how you perform your function will reflect your reality. Has everybody got that? In other words, we no longer function as bartenders, strippers, prostitutes, pimps, whatever. Liars, thieves, cheaters, drug addicts. We are drug dealers. I mean, that was my function for over 20 years. So our function now is different. Our function is the things that we do to maintain here, but to please God. We labor unto the Lord no matter what we do. No, whether you farm, you're a car dealer, no matter what, your function should always reflect your identity. And as your function reflects your identity will begin to lead you into your destiny. Amen? Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice, his words, and follow. They believe. Amen? All right, let's go a little further. Let's see here. Did we speak this whole thing yet? All right, verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the sheep, shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. So you don't go before God, he goes before you. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his words. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. It doesn't mean you don't know the voice of the strangers. It means that you don't follow the voice of the strangers. You no longer acknowledge them. Amen? So my sheep hear my voice, his words, and follow. They believe. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What's he coming to steal first? Your identity. Why? Because if he can compromise your identity, it's going to affect your destiny. John 8. You know, many people don't even have a destiny. They just live in a world day by day. They really don't know what their future is. But when you are in Christ, His words have told you your future. And when you live from this word, you're living from the future to the present. Why? Because these words are what? They're from another reality. So your foundation, everything you're living on, everything you're building on, is from His words. Which is what? It's from another reality. Eternal. Another dimension. That must be a part of our life and must be understood. Professed, proclaimed, and promoted. John 8:43. John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Says the Lord, because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. In other words, you're not born into His reality. That's why you must be born again. You and I were born in this place. You know, many people used to hate that word. I used to hear it too. I'm born again. Yeah, right. You're born again. What's born again? I didn't even know what a Christian was. I don't even know what a Roman was. Roman Catholic. I used to roam everywhere. I didn't know anything. I used to skip catechism and all those other things. I believed that there was a God because I used to pray to Him in strange ways. Wouldn't want to repeat some of the prayers I prayed, but I believed that there was a God. Didn't know how or what. I didn't know if He was coming down in a spacecraft or, you know, He's going to beam me up or whatever, but I knew something had to happen someday. I didn't know how, though. But in this, when the Word became flesh, think about it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Come on. That's phenomenal. The eternal Word, the one who spoke all things from another reality, from the eternal reality, put on physical form and came into this realm. No wonder why everything around Him shook and quaked. And He kept hidden from the world. He didn't come out of this until, why? Because He was fulfilling the word that He'd already was released prior through the prophets. So He was fulfilling what they had spoken, but it was Him that spoke. So He was speaking all about Himself the whole time and giving glory to the Father. So that He could fulfill all things and free me and you. The only way He could go to the cross was to sense how humanity lived. He wanted to learn the burdens of humanity. So that when He went to the cross, He could exchange all of their burdens, all of their pains, all of their frustrations, all their rejections, all their sicknesses, everything. All their disappointments, He could exchange for them and nail it to the cross. And release His words. Then release His presence to His people and give them a sword so that they could fight and follow. What an amazing thing. See, we've got to stop living according to how the world predicts things. How the movies predict things. How the music predicts things. How books predict things. We can't live that way any longer. We've got to live like we're not from here. Because we're not. It doesn't mean that you become a granola, nutty and fruity. Amen? Hallelujah. Mark 4. But the enemy comes with distractions, tries to steal your identity because he knows if he can compromise your identity, he'll compromise your destiny. Tries to get you off course, puts all kinds of things in your path, usually lust. Verse 13, and Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. What word? Not their own words. Words from another reality. His words. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Why? Because he wants to keep you from fulfilling your destiny. These likewise are the ones sown by, on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution or troubles arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitful riches and lust, and the desires for other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and some 100-fold. Words from another dimension of reality. The enemy does not want you to partake. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want you to read the Bible, speak the Bible. He doesn't want you to pray. He'll do everything he can. Why? Because that's the atmosphere. He's called the prince of power of air. He is the prince of the power of this air. Everybody do this. Come on, you feel something? Something's there. Okay, stop. Do you feel it still? No, it's called deception. Hallelujah. And he's the master of it, isn't he? Glory. John 6, 53. Then Jesus said to most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, these are words from another reality. Whoever eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Now, these dudes freaked out when they heard this. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Remember, you are drinking the blood as you praise and worship and as you take communion. You are eating the flesh as you're eating right now the Word of God. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in his synagogues, and he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Why? Because these are words from another dimension. These are words from another reality. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see, the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of another reality, of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you as a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Whoa. He said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. These are words from the eternal reality. They couldn't comprehend it. They thought, this is nuts. He's gone occult. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility and reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts, which is your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renew, refresh your thoughts with the eternal reality words. That's how you reconnect. You must refresh every day. You must proclaim every day. Because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. Well, I just don't believe that. That's why you ain't changed. That's why your destiny is questionable. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, this is where we've got to be careful, because you could be hanging around with people whose destiny is questionable. The Bible says, bad company corrupts what? Good habits. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What's it say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we are bringing these words from another reality into this world to turn the hearts of humans into eternal beings and reconnect them. To renew, refresh your thoughts. We must do that daily. We are a new creation. A new creation means you got a new identity. If you're still holding on to who you were, then you haven't exchanged your identity. I'm not who I was. I don't proclaim that who I was. I don't promote who I was. I expose it to give God glory of who I am now. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser. I call that a compromiser. Nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Everyone says, as I think, so I'll be. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Why? Because they're not going to get it. They won't understand it. As you think, so you are. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer, is everybody with me, walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the fertility of their minds or their thinking. Having their understanding what? Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have been given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, he said. If you did, and you've heard from him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, the lust, the desires of the world that are influencing all the time. And be renewed in the spirit of your thoughts or your mind. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's our responsibility, amen, to put on a new identity every day. To refresh and maintain that identity every single day. Why? Because your identity leads to your destiny. Amen? In Luke chapter 8. You know, now the enemy always likes to go after the young. That's why there's a big uproar now, because the Antichrist race, which has invaded and infiltrated schools and teachers and so forth, and, you know, that are trying to promote things that are causing conflict of identity, transgender. It's a conflict of identity. Homosexual, lesbian, transgender, all of these things are a conflict of their true identity. I mean, they can't even figure out whether they're male or female. Or they're trying to give them that choice, and they're trying to erase those words. Hello? In schools. And I mean, I saw some of the books, and it's amazing what they say. These people ought to be hung. What they're trying to tell our children. Let me tell you why they're doing that. Because they are anti-Christ. They are not of this world either. But they're from another place, trying to destroy this world. That's why Jesus said, they are of the devil. And they are from beneath. We are from above. It's amazing to me if what parents are finally waking up and coming against this stuff all over. I was blown away. I mean, what right does somebody have to try to change a gender, an identity of a child? Well, I really don't know what I am. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And Jesus said to him, to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it's been given in parables, that they seeing that they may not see, and hearing that they may not hear. In other words, you and I have been given the mysteries of God. You know what a mystery is? What's behind door number one? What's behind door number two? What's behind there is a mystery. Why? Because you don't know. But when that door is open, that mystery is revealed, isn't it? So for me and you, the mysteries of God, that's why we can come here and be taught by the anointing, because the mysteries of God are being released. But to many people, they won't get it. Because they're of the world. They're not of, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We're from another reality, even though we're here. But we have been born out of it now. So when you're born out, now you got to learn to walk in your true reality of who you are, your true identity of who you are. Yes, we all have different functions. But again, those functions should be reflecting your identity. and how you respond in those areas. Christ-like or still carnal-like? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Let's go to John 16. Many people rejected the invitation from the Lord. They've rejected your invitations to the Lord. You know, did you ever get to a place and say, man, I wish I would have done? Everyone did. I say that to the Lord out there, why didn't you do this to me a long time ago? He said, I tried. That, oh, don't you remember? Man, I know he was trying to get my attention. I've never forgot when I got sentenced to life in prison and I walked through those large doors. I didn't know when I was coming out. In Attica, New York. And I walked into the door and I said, Lord. And I said, God, because I didn't know him as Lord. I'm not blaming you. This is my fault. I did this, not you. And I realized it was me, not him. Because even when I used to do drug deals, I'd pray, God, protect me. And I'm telling you, I was protected many times. I walked out of, jumped off of places, and when the FBI were there and everything, man, they didn't catch me. I walked through doors and all kinds of stuff and dragged my wife through some things. Didn't get busted. I got busted again on something stupid. But because I kept rejecting his attention. Again, all of these things in our life that has been trying to get our attention. When we got it, he got our attention. Now we need to get his. Amen? Why? We want to maintain that identity so we can fulfill our destiny. No matter what it seems like. John 16, 25. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. In other words, figurative language is language that you can see a picture of. That's what parables are for. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. And again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly. And we are using no figurative of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. But this we believe that you came from him, from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yet has now come, that you will be scattered, each one of his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Ephesians 4. Oh, hallelujah. We are going to be entering the holy shift. It's right around the corner. And the world's going to need to come to you because they're not going to understand the eternal language. It'll be common language, but they won't understand how it's presented. In other words, when you go up to somebody and they're asking you stupid questions, And you're going to say, who told you that? They're going to like, what are you talking about? I told me that. See, because they can't make what's unseen to become seen. I believe me, a lot of believers, I do the same thing too. They're grumbling, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. Well, who told you that? What do you mean? I told me that. Oh, boy. Another carnal light. A wannabe. But you got to be a willoughby. Amen? Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ or his anointing, that we should no longer be children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, in other words, speaking his words in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to effective working by which every part does its share or fulfills its function, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Your function will reflect your identity. Amen? How you operate in that function. And I'm going to close at Matthew 22. In verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, fatted calf are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways. One to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways, gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. In other words, that wedding garment was a representative, was not invited. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he stood speechless. Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There he will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Amen? We are the called. We earn the chosen. Amen? Listen, again, your identity will lead to your destiny. What you do not only affects you here, but also eternally. So anything that you've done that you know you need to repent for, you need to erase it through the blood of Christ. And make a choice that you are going to start to speak God's words. That you're going to start getting in His presence. That you're going to do whatever it takes. Because you're not your own anymore. He bought us. That's what he paid the price for on the cross. You do not own your life. He owns it. Amen? If you want to live your life, you'll lose eternal life. He tells us that. Today's the day and things are changing. The reason why this message is being released is because God is preparing us for the next event. It is a turn of pages. It's a turn of reality. Something is about to happen. I don't know what. I don't know how. But I know I can taste it. Be prepared and be ready. Don't be shaken by what you see or what you hear or what goes on in the world. Stand firm. We're to be steadfast and immovable. That's what a soldier of the Most High is. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed that the words that were released from your reality, from the eternal reality realm, be protected and covered by the blood of Jesus in us, that they may grow and bear fruit for your glory, and prepare our hearts for communion in Jesus' name. Amen?